Please stand and face the flag. We'll be led in the pledge by Morro Bay's new Harbor Master, Harbor Director, Mr. Eric Endersby.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Follow me in the pledge, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And that's the first time we've seen Eric in a suit, and he looks great. He looks great. Okay, just a comment about the campaign, and I guess I'm going to comment on this before every meeting. Last week, Carla's Country Kitchen's little billboard on Highway 41 was defaced, vandalized, with a message that basically said, whoever did it, that they're not interested in Carla as mayor. It was really reprehensible behavior. And I'm calling on the community to please, you know, not do this kind of behavior. It's counterproductive. None of the candidates want their support. And I'm, you know, excuse me for speaking for other candidates. I shouldn't do this, but I don't believe that any candidate wants their supporters to do this kind of behavior. And I do condemn it. And I would ask, again, that whoever you're supporting, if you want to speak or write a letter to the editor or whatever, that's great. Support your candidate. Don't throw mud at the other candidates, which has been our history here. And it's not necessary. We all live here together. We're all neighbors. Nobody's bad. So I call on you, you know, to keep it civil, keep the discourse civil. Again, if you're for somebody, stand up and say, I'm for this opponent, this candidate, and here's why, as opposed to standing up and throwing mud at the other candidates. It doesn't work. And, we see it happen on the national level. We know it apparently works on the national level, but I don't think it's ever really worked around here. It certainly isn't neighborly, because when the election's all over, win or lose, whoever wins or loses, we're still living here together, and we still have to get along. So, please. Noah?
Ditto.
George? Nancy?
Well, ditto, and I have some other announcements.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Just a last-minute reminder that this weekend is the big yard sale and photo expo. Don't forget those. April 29th is the AAUW garden tour. And last but definitely not least, be sure to get your copy of this month's Sunset Magazine. Bob's going to pop some pictures up there. The ultimate block party. It's a beautiful four-page article about the beach tractors, a group of neighbors who live in the beach tract, and they won this national contest from Sunset by producing everything they ate, their own eggs and their own chicken, which I guess they finished off after it laid eggs. And the kids even boiled down salt water to make their own salt. So just all kinds of great things went on. Be sure you check out the article. It's super. And we congratulate them for their hard work. That's all.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you, Mary Yates, for those comments. Just a few updates. The April 21st is the second annual emergency antique vehicle show. It will be with the police and fire, other emergency vehicles and apparatus, so that's an exciting event that will be its second year. It's 2 weeks before our regular car show, and in between that weekend falls the Kite Festival, so we have a lot going on next month, going into May, a lot of events and activities coming up. And also I would want anyone who's interested who is following the PG&E seismic study, the draft EIR has been released by the state lands, You can go to their website to review that. It's quite extensive. The comment period is 60 days to get any comments in on the offshore seismic study plan. And the state lands will be in San Luis, is scheduled to be in San Luis next month, so there's information.
So I was mayor in 03-04. I worked with them, and we've worked together since I've been back on board. I'm glad to see other fishermen here with us tonight. Thank you for coming down and honoring Jeremiah and Trudy. We have included Trudy in this plaque because, you know, she's not the president, but she is the best, next to Jeremiah, of course, the best spokesman for the fishermen that this community has. And Jeremiah spends a lot of time away from home fishing, and Trudy's the point person in town, certainly the one I've shared many, many, many emails with on fishing industry matters. They have both worked tirelessly for many years on behalf of the fishermen. We are so proud of them. Easy, great people to work with. I've known them too long. I love them to death, both of them. And it's a pleasure on behalf of the City Council, the fishing community, and the community at large to present you with a plaque tonight that reads, Jeremiah O'Brien, President of Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Association. Uh-oh, it says 04 to 12. Forgive us. Hopefully we spelled your name right. And Trudy O'Brien, who needs to share in this. With appreciation and gratitude for outstanding service to the community of Morro Bay and commercial fishermen coastwise, Morro Bay City Council, March 27th, 2012. It's an honor and a pleasure to honor you this way.
Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, City Council, City staff, and Harbor Department, certainly very humbling experience to be here, and thank you very much for including my boss, because she's, you know, without her, I could not get anything done at all, of course, so she's certainly shared everything that we've done, and I just want to say thank you very, very much to the City of Morro Bay for all of the support that you've given the commercial fishing industry in all of the years past and present. It's always, without the city and the support of the city, fishermen might have disappeared from here a long time ago. And we have an incredible group of fishermen here in Morro Bay, and we always have just rock-solid fishermen who never have to, who, no matter where fishermen from Morro Bay go, they're always held in highest esteem because they're just a great bunch of fishermen. So we're very fortunate to live here in Morro Bay and be part of this this port. Thank you all very, very much from the bottom of our heart.
Thank you very much.
Public comment period. I have a couple people I'm going to invite up first. If you'll bear with me first, Mr. John Solo, who's going to introduce Mr. Buffalo.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council and audience. My name is John Solo, citizen of Morro Bay, and also on the Harbor Festival Board, just 3 months old. But I'm here tonight and proud to introduce you Steve Buffalo, who has vast experience that we got him from Southern California to come up here to help us reinvent the Harbor Festival. I'm not going to go any further, and I'm going to introduce Steve Buffalo. Steve, come up here and introduce yourself and tell everybody what we're going to do this year.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and I'm excited about the coming year and the Morro Bay Harbor Festival and the Morro Bay Music Festival, which is coming up on June 2nd. I think that you can feel reassured that this is one of the better events in California. I have been to this event on a couple of occasions. It's certainly the premier event in the Central Coast area, the two-day festival. I think you have a lot of support, the community, as I go out and talk to people. And I want you to know that one of the things that we want to do here is we have a seafood and wine pavilion, and we want to put the seafood back in the seafood and wine pavilion. And recognizing that this is a working harbor, and our theme going forward is anchored in tradition. Now, as we go forward and look at that, we're also going to apply some twists to it. We're going to bring in some interactive entertainment that is going to be particularly interesting to the folks up here, and something you probably haven't seen. But look forward to working with everybody. I think that it's very important to understand the value of these events in terms of marketing, the value of the event in terms of building.
All kinds. We have Rough Rock, if for those of you who are really rock hounds and like to have that kind of thing. Go ahead, you tell that one.
And we also have magic wands.
We do.
We all want one of those.
Okay. We have crystals of all kinds, all sizes.
We have fossils.
We have crystal clusters that like this, and some of them are about this big around. We have all kinds of rocks.
We have dragon bracelets.
We have note cards here. Some of you may recognize this. This is the work of Ruth Ann Angus, who has been in Morro Bay for many years, and a lot of her art hangs, or her photography hangs in different places around the city.
We have sun catchers.
We have not a good system here. Oh, and we have these beautiful antique vases filled with sea glass that are made by a local artist by the name of Melody. She has these at our shop. We also have all kinds of metaphysical items. So if people are into that, we have pendants, we have statues, we have we're getting chalices in next week. We're starting a rock hound group. I've had so many people come in and say, I'm a rock hound, but I don't know any other rock hounds in the area. So we decided to start a rock hound group. So if any of you are rock hounds, please stop by, and we'll put you on our list, and we'll start having a monthly rock hound group. We also do classes, and so the next class is going to be April 15th, which is going to be using crystals and rocks and things to make prayer beads for people who are sick or who need some help. We can show you how to do that. So if you'd like to do that, please come to the shop and register. We have, as of today, we have candles. Oh, my assistant found something else.
We have Easter eggs.
The rock kind. They shouldn't try to eat those, should they? No.
Don't try to crack them open either.
Right.
Your time has expired.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so
much
for coming
tonight. I'm just
going
to gather my stuff here.
You take your time.
Okay.
Is that Rock Hound group a support group?
Yeah, sure.
Penny, can you tell us your hours that you're open, please?
Oh, thank you. I'm open Thursday, Friday, Saturday from 10 to 4, and also on Tuesdays from 10 to 4. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Hank, would you like to go next by any chance?
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Hank Roth, Morro Bay. Speaking for the chamber, I want to remind you, you've already mentioned the emergency vehicle car show on the 21st of April. April 22nd, we'll be Blessing of the Fleet, 12:30 at the North T Pier. That's a great event, and then we all come back over here and eat and have a great time. The Kite Festival will be the weekend of April 28th and 29th. Looking for local vendors. Come on out, and there'll be more information on this as we get closer to the date. But I just wondered if there's any local vendors out there that would like to be a part of the Kite Festival, please contact me. I'll give you the number in a minute. And on April 28th in the morning, we will have our Celebrate Morro Bay Parade. I'm still looking for participants. I've got a few spots open. I'd like to have some, really exciting participants to enjoy our parade with us. So contact me at the chamber at 772-4467 if you're interested in any of these events or if you just like any more information on them. Thank you.
Thank you, Hank. Who would like to go next? Hi.
Hi, my name is Mandy Davis, and congratulations, Trudy and Jeremiah. You really deserve that. I was going to tell you guys a story in an attempt to be creative and tactful with what I'm about to say, and really, quite honestly, I'm so dismayed and disgusted that I really have no desire at this point in time to be creative or tactful, so excuse me if I am neither. But I would like to tell you a little bit of a history here. In October, I had to deal with what most people don't ever want to have to deal with in their lives. The dying and death of a loved one. No compassion, a very, very callous response to the amount of time and the amount of effort and the amount of caring that I put into being on the Harbor Advisory Board. I take it seriously. And for me to miss those meetings was something that, you know, was not a capricious move on my part. I was expecting the city to respond at least with some sort of communication, to respond with compassion, to respond out of wisdom, to respond out of a respect for diversity, to respond in a very human way. We're a small town, and this is something we can expect of our city government. We can expect this of you. As a matter of fact, there's no reason not to be this way. So I'm not asking for my position back because, quite honestly, I'm just up to here with having to deal with this kind of situation. So in the future, please base your decisions on human ethics, on wisdom, on diversity, on respect for that, on compassion, on humanity. And if you can't, step down.
Thank you, Mandy. Thank you for coming down tonight. Who would like to go next? Anybody else?
My name is Betty Winholtz, and I'm here for two reasons. And the first is A1, the minutes. And in my public comment, I did speak to two different items, and I'd like the second sentence, a few words of those amended. In the second sentence, it says, quote, she encouraged people to send letters. And what I did was I directly asked the council to author their own letter and send it in communication to the President of the United States regarding Mr. Coney. So I would like the words people sending letters to be deleted and replaced with the City Council to send a letter. So even though you did not choose to honor my request to agendize that, I'd like it reflected in the minutes. And my second comment is really about something I've done a couple of other times already this year, and it's kind of bittersweet because I've talked about people who have been significant in the community and who have passed on to the other side. And Tom Laurie did a couple of weeks ago, and I'm a little surprised that he wasn't mentioned by maybe someone else or by the Harbor Department, but whether or not you liked or ever agreed with Tom Laurie and on the diversity of topics that he was very comprehensive about, he was a force in Morro Bay. There's a building that he and his wife Val have built down on the Embarcadero that will be there for decades. And he's someone that was involved extensively with waterfront development and construction, with the power plant when we were going through the hearings with the Energy Commission. And I just want to acknowledge that this is someone that had influence in our community and has passed on. And I have to say, in light of Mandy's testimony this evening, that I would ditto what she has said, and that the lack of compassion is very sad that you don't see beyond that when you're dealing with people's lives on committees. And this is the second time this has happened. The first time was with Mr. Diodati on the Planning Commission, and now you've done it again.
Thank you, Betty. Hi, Pam. Welcome.
Mr. Mayor, council members, and staff members, my name is John Lewan. I'm currently the president of the Morro Bay Police Department's volunteer program. And I'm here tonight to advertise, if you will. We're having a Citizens Academy coming up April 26th, which is around the corner. We are anticipating putting together a program as we've had in the past. I attended the last one 2 years ago. It's a very informative program. Myself and Sergeant Rick Catlett are pretty much spearheading this thing. And would like to invite the public to attend and learn what the police department's all about. We do it for 9 weeks, begins April 26th, ends on June 21st. That is only Thursday nights from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. And I'd like to clarify the word academy. I spoke to some potential people a couple months ago and asked them about it, and they said they always wanted to do it, but they were afraid of the word academy because they had a son that was in the police department in another town, and he told his parents about how dreadful the academy is. We do not put anybody through physical stress. It's all classroom. It's 3 hours of sitting there listening to everybody within the department at one time or another will speak, basically. Some of the topics that will be covered will the chief of police. So I would invite everybody in the community to either get hold of myself, John Lewan, at the police station, or Sergeant Rick Catlett at 772-6225. If you aren't here to get an application, come by the station, and we'll be happy to get one to you, and would love to see you. Obviously, at the end of the academy, anybody that's interested in the program, I'm going to try to recruit into our volunteer program, so keep that in mind. I'll put these in the building here somewhere, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, John. Hi, Gary.
Good evening. Gary Johnson, resident of Morro Bay, mayor, city council, and the worker bees of Morro Bay. Have you found your replacement yet, Tim? No. Okay. City council has to. Jeremiah and Trudy, you couldn't ask for nicer people, and that plaque was fantastic. I've known Jeremiah ever since I lived here. And when you asked Jeremiah for something, I asked him a quick question. We went out and had coffee, and he was there for about an hour. So the guy is a dynamite person. So if you have any questions, just go to Jeremiah. But most importantly, I'm here because I am voting for Joan Solo for one of the city council seats. And why am I voting for her? She's a PTA past president person. By the way, nobody knows I'm saying this. This is all coming from my heart. Joan, John, and nobody up there knows it. She's very active in the PTA. Board Community Foundation, chairman of the TBID, chairman of the Commerce Board, very business-oriented, a great soccer mom. You cannot believe what she has done to our community with the junior, with all the schools over there. I am talking with my hands here. And most importantly, she runs a successful business in town, and that's what we need up there, sitting there, people that know business. We can get this and move our city forward. So that's why I'm voting for Joan, and I'm behind her. I'm going to help her campaign, and I hope everybody else will do the same. And thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Hi.
Hi, I'm Michelle Arate, and I live in North Morro Bay. And I am here commenting on the 3390 Main Street project, owner Johnny Medina. And I want to say thank you to the City Council for upholding the 2010 permit for this project at the February 14th, 2012 meeting. At this time, the City Council deemed the property usable in that they agreed with the Planning Commission of 2010 that the size for the approved house is 1,800 square feet, as approved in the 2010 permit, and as upheld by you, the City Council. And this was on February 14th, again, 2012. Thank you for upholding a fair and usable permit and for caring about our neighborhood in North Morro Bay. We have 200 petition signers, all local Morro Bay voters, that will be watching to ensure that the Mr. Medina project at 3390 Main Street will stay in accordance with that 2010 permit and with the permit being for the 1,800 square foot house. So we feel this is very important, and we would like to see that it doesn't sneak through, so we're just bringing it before you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming down to speak, Michelle. Who would like to go next? Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Mr. Mayor, City Council members, staff, my name is Gary, Chris Christensen. In light of the announcement of our soon-to-be ex-police chief, I just wanted to come up and address the police chief personally and thank him for the service that he's given to this community. But most importantly, being one who has experienced some contact with the local police department in the past, I'm aware of changes that Chief Olivas brought to this police department that I thought were beneficial to the community. I'm very sad to see him leaving. My only point today in wanting to address that was to encourage the staff to look for similar characteristics and traits in the replacement of Chief Olivas, whom I think did a great service to this community and set a level of achievement and an outlook and an attitude in the police department that has been long needed. And I hope that we continue that with his replacement. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. On behalf of the chief, thank you, too.
Greetings, Mr. Mayor, City Council, staff, people watching at home. My name is Don B., and I live in the Cloisters. I stood here almost a year ago discussing the issue of the Cloisters assessment. At that time, many of us who live in the Cloisters agreed to move forward with levying this past year's assessment on a watch and see basis. Which, while agreed, has been fine. That a focus on the parkways would take place. A promise we designed was executed. Homeowners were indeed contacted to provide their design input, but the execution has taken months to get started. A few weeks ago, an outside landscaping company was finally hired to complete the parkway redesign, or most of it. They were given just 2 weeks. The parkway lots that were completed prior to this outsourcing, which number less than 10, have not really been made yet.
AGP, can we get a hand? Somebody will come out and help, Don.
Wendy, come on. Maybe. Thank you. Those pictures there. Those are just pictures of the maintenance or whatnot. Anyway, I've been spending a lot of time with the city, many of you know that, and trying to be the squeaky wheel. And I know these are tough economic times, but this just shouldn't be that hard. If a year under a microscope doesn't result in the required outcome, yeah, you can see the pictures there, I've lost faith that anything can fix this. I'm speaking too early to give staff time to formulate a budget that may not include the closer assessment, as the homeowners may request the city no longer levy this assessment. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Who would like to go next? Susan?
Thank you. My name is Susan Stewart. I was chairperson of the Morro Bay Community Promotions Committee. This is a brief report on our final Promotions Committee meeting. During the past year, we have committed to advertising campaigns around the Central Coast, Central Valley, Santa Barbara, Monterey, and Sacramento areas, purchased banners for Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street, funded and assisted in the redesign of the website, replaced the billboard artwork, and had rack cards printed for use in a wide variety of venues. At our last meeting, we elected to use unencumbered capital to fund several large projects that should have long-term and far-reaching benefits for the community. First, we voted to grant money to help cover activity costs for the upcoming Outdoor Writers Conference, which is hosting 125 writers on May 7th and 8th, sponsored by the Inn at Morro Bay and the Chamber of Commerce. Second, we provided money to the 4th of July Committee towards obtaining a barge for the fireworks display. Finally, we voted to support the feature-length documentary Botso, filmed in Morro Bay and the Republic of Georgia, about our own local, internationally famous musician, artist, and teacher, Botso Coroscelli. This movie is now on its way to the Cannes Film Festival. The potential is huge to produce long-range national and international promotion results for the community. At the request of the city attorney, we prepared recommendations for the makeup of a 9-member tourism board as follows. 2 hoteliers representing 1 private and 1 franchise business, a restaurateur, 2 retailers from different parts of town, recreation or outdoor activities representative, non-TBID represented lodging such as mobile homes, trailer parks, vacation rentals, or bed and breakfasts, an events representative, and an arts representative. We believe this provides a diverse board that can address a cross-section of tourism concerns and interest in the community, providing insight and experience. Finally, we agreed that Morro Bay could benefit from an economic development or enhancement program supported by the city. It doesn't matter what kind of advertising we do if we don't provide a good product for our visitors and locals. A good product is not just decent hotels or restaurants or a variety of quaint shops and visitor-serving amenities. It is all of those things and more. Filled storefronts and open businesses, attractive and safe streets and sidewalks, a vibrant and vital community for locals and visitors alike. For Morro Bay, the fishing industry and outdoor recreation opportunities, as well as festivals and events, are also key to economic vitality. We all appreciated the opportunity we had to serve the community of Morro Bay and have great hopes for its future. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Susan. Hi, Jenna. I know what you're going to talk about. AGP, we need you again. Thank you.
Actually, first of all, I'm going to talk about some other things. I'm Janice Peters, resident of Morro Bay. I just wanted to reiterate what Susan said. We really feel that the diversity of the recommendations that we made for the Tourism Board would be the best benefit for getting every possible person here that we could. It would represent the hoteliers and the restaurants and the businesses and the events, all of whom are necessary to bring people to Morro Bay. So we hope you will consider those recommendations. Also, funding for economic development. We have struggled along for quite a while now. In this economy, we need all the help we can get, and I think it's time to devote some funding to a professional organization or consultant or part-time person who could help us increase the occupancy of the stores that we have now and get the kind of businesses here that would succeed. Lots of really fun. Bonnie Tognazzini. Oh, she's going to do Patsy Cline. She's so good. So hope y'all can come. Tickets go on sale next Monday. Well, actually, they'll be at the Chamber and the Senior Center. They're $15 for adults, $5 for students with ID. And hope y'all can come. We're going to have 2 shows in one day, one at 2 o'clock, one at 7 o'clock. Another economizing thing, and also providing for people who don't want to go out after dark. So now you can all come and see the show live. Rob's going to be one of our bartenders. Carla's going to help us out. Nancy's doing lemonade. It's going to be a great occasion. So hopefully you'll be there. And while I got a couple more minutes, I just want to say to Tim Olivas, I don't know how long you're going to be here. I'm going to take this chance to say you have been an incredibly positive influence in this community. And thank you so much for your service and wish you well in your future endeavors. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I have posters if anybody wants them for their business.
Great. Thanks. Hi, Barry. Thank you, AGP.
Good evening, Barry Bay. Excuse me. Can't say my own. Barry Brannon, a citizen of Morro Bay. Barry Bay. I'd like to give you kind of a status report to all the people at home about the largest capital investment the city is going to make for many, many times. It's going to run between $30 and $50 million. Some of you don't pay much attention to the JPA because it's kind of boring. But the progress now is there's been economic studies. We have found that the site is worth $8 million if we reuse it. And I found that that the SLOCOG, the San Luis Obispo Counties of Governments, have prioritized the bridge across the creek down there, that's the extension of Morro Bay. Embarcadero, and if indeed that bridge is put on the roadmap, so to speak, that site that we have for a wastewater treatment plant will be all the more interesting to a boutique motel, as suggested by the DUDEC report. So, however, the current direction of our JPA, we're hiring a lobbyist for $12,500 a month to lobby the Coastal Commission to keep the plant at the old location rather than try to use some of the ideas that we've paid these consultants to bring us. And that kind of bothers me. So far, we spent $75,000 with Susan McCabe, and this just keeps going on. The clock keeps ticking. I know that there's been some effort to try to shorten that up, but I don't see an understanding from our city, because we're the ones that are most affected, how important it is to develop that site down there into something besides a poop plant. Real estate prices are inexpensive now. We can find another location quite inexpensively. There's a ranch out on Highway 41 that's 200 acres for less than $4 million. That's not a lot of money when you figure that the existing plant's worth $8 million as far as alternative revenue. So we can save money by moving the plant. We can save money by adopting some of the ideas that we've paid these consultants to bring us. And I urge the city council to, I know it's a hard thing for you to deal with. You have to have the citizens behind you. The key is we have until April 4th to put our comments in for the recycle water study. We need the citizens to be aware that this project is ongoing, and we need you to influence your elected officials and your soon-to-be elected officials to take the right steps. We won't see this going to the Coastal Commission for many months because of the complications, so it still is time for the citizens to input, and I want you all to understand how important it is, because $50 million is still $50 million. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. Hey, Brian. AGP.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Brian Stacy, Morro Bay resident and local commercial fisherman. I just came down. I wanted to correct Carla. It's a 45-day comment period. It expires on May 3rd. And these are the dates and location of the in regards to the seismic testing that PG&E is planning on doing in our local oceans here. And these are the dates and locations of the public meetings. They're on April 19th at 2 and 6 o'clock in San Luis Obispo at the County Government Center. And the lady in the lower left-hand box there, Jennifer De Leon, that's where you submit your comments. And I encourage all our local residents to take a look at that environmental impact report, as it would need a substantial upgrade to be flimsy. PG&E didn't do a very good job, and we need to make sure everybody gets their comments in, including city staff, I hope, on behalf of the tourist-related businesses and recreational fishing, as well as commercial fishing interest in our community.
Escort to school on the last day of school in the trolley for the winning class, and it is probably by far the most popular thing that happens out at that school. The kids can't wait for the last day of school, and you know, you were a huge part of that. You jumped in immediately and said yes, and I appreciate all of your community service and your community service approach to policing, and fun to see you on your bike. Those are big shoes to fill. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Hi, Ed.
Good evening, Council. Name's Ed Sylvester. I'm a DirecTV listener, or I have the DirecTV stations, and I know they have to come through this board here to be able to get their contracts to be able to put their business here in town. And I was wondering, what I really miss since I've had it is there is no government channel on there. And it seemed like when they had come up for a review on their renewal of the contract, that the city wouldn't put something in there that they would have to carry, because there's a lot of DirecTV subscribers here in town, and they're missing out on what is happening in government in this town. And it's something that has been kind of unforeseen, and I just thought I'd bring it to your attention. I don't know if if it's ever been brought up to the council's attention or not, but that's about as mildly as I can put it. And then we had another thing here earlier in the meeting, that you folks were getting run over the coals for not responding. This one person I know was on a vessel that was putting a lot of people out of business. It was televised. And this one person is talking about having compassion. Well, we got to have a lot of compassion for other people in other countries, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks for coming down. Anybody else? Anyone? Going once, going twice. Oh. You faked me out. I thought you were going out the door.
Thank you, Mayor and Council and city staff. I'm here tonight on two matters.
How could you identify yourself?
Certainly, sorry. Brian Millard, Commander with Morro Bay Police Department. I usually let my uniform do the talking. I keep forgetting that. The first of which I wanted to say is you have an item on consent agenda tonight to talk about the proclamation for a telecommunications week, which begins on April 8th. I want to say thank you and in advance. I know it hasn't been talked about, but the recognition that you're giving to the communications center for the city is worthwhile and it is pretty much understated at any point. I don't know if the public is aware of how critical our communications center is to both the city workers and to the community at large. Speaking from a patrol officer's point of view, we are oftentimes thrown into situations that we don't know how they're going to develop. We don't know the situations or the decisions we're being asked to make, whether it's police or fire or ambulance. But I do know that whatever I'm tasked with, I can certainly call on the radio or phone, and a dispatcher is on the other end of that line. And that is a critical lifeline for everything that we do. When you dial 911 for police or fire, or whether you want public works or harbor or water, the dispatcher is always the first line of communication. And so the recognition to say thank you for what they do is critical, and I encourage everyone in the community to stop by and say thank you, just not all at once because they're busy people.
It's a small lobby.
Yes, it is. The second of which is we've also had citizens, and I want to thank those who've come forward to say to our chief, thank you for his service. I have been honored to serve with him for the past 8 years, first as commander and then now as chief, and I could ask for no greater boss. To say we will miss him is an understatement. The brotherhood of law enforcement is something that only a few of us get to experience, and I have been fortunate to have a brother in arms that I will miss. But I also know that the professionalism and the teamwork and the family that he's brought to our department, he's going to do so on a county level, and it's going to be a win for all of us who live here. So I want to say thank you for what you brought to the city, and I also wish you well with your job with the Sheriff's Department, but we are all behind you, and the city will always be your family. Thank you.
Thank you. All this happened. You know, Tom certainly was a force here, and condolences have been expressed personally to Valerie. Thank you, John and Gary and Michelle, Chris, Dawn, Susan, Janice, Barry. Barry, we're very hurt that you think the JPA meetings are boring. Brian, Joan, Ed, are you still here? DirecTV is not regulated by us, unfortunately. The only person in this company that's regulated by us is Charter, because they string their wires around town. But DirecTV comes in via satellite, and we have nothing to do with them. We could send them a letter, ask them to put government on, but you know, I don't think it would have. We could do that. We'll try it, but you know, don't hold your breath. Were you going to say something? let's do it. Sure.
Yeah, thanks also for bringing up that point. And we've heard it before, and it's a good one. And there's a couple of locations that you can pick up outside of the Channel 20, and that's on the city's website. There's a direct link on the homepage to slowspan.org where you can stream it online if that's accessible to you. And the other thing that's in the works right now, which is very exciting, is a community FM radio station that Mr. Hal Abrams is working on. And we have had some preliminary discussions with the city about broadcasting city meetings on the radio like they do with the county supervisor meetings. So that's another opportunity that may be coming up that would help get the message out and connect the community more to our activities.
Thank you, Noah. Brian, thanks for coming down tonight. Pat, thank you for being here. Pat is our Queen Bee dispatcher. When I'm mayor, I do listen to the scanner. I listen to the dispatchers. Basically, you're listening to the dispatchers, and they are an amazing group. I don't know how they do it. I have no idea how they do it. The officers call in a name, and they spell it, and give numbers, and I've never ever heard any of them say, repeat it, I didn't get it. It's just lightning speed, and they are truly amazing, keeping track of the officers, keeping track of their welfare and their safety. And if an officer stops somebody and they haven't heard from them for a few minutes, they check in, hey, what's going on? Are you, you know, they don't say, are you okay? But that's what they're asking between the lines. And they do an amazing job, and you are noticed and appreciated, all of you. So please take that message back, Pat. Thank you. Thanks for being here, too. And Jim, thanks for coming down tonight. I want to acknowledge that we had some more fishermen come in the room after our presentation to Jeremiah, and we welcome those, Ryan and the Blues, and Pat and Pam Daniels came and went, and so we're all glad that that you guys came. It's nice to see you here, and welcome. Tim, huh. You know, another thing, this is your last meeting? This is your last meeting, and you were not acknowledged, and no, we're all embarrassed by that, and we do want to acknowledge you and thank you for your service to this community and for your leadership. And I know that there's not a police officer at the Morro Bay Police Department that doesn't hold you in the highest esteem, as we all do. And we wish you the very, very best in the future, and we know you're not going to disappear. You'll still be around, and we wish you the best. And I apologize for not saying something sooner. And finally, we've never acknowledged our new city clerk. We all know who she is, and she's been here forever, and it's Jamie Boucher. And Jamie took the helm of the city clerkdom January 1st, and so she's been here ever since, and I've never acknowledged that, and I wanted to do that. And you're doing a great job, and we appreciate you, and it's a tough job having six bosses, basically, and you're doing it extremely well. Any comments from council? Then we are at the consent calendar. I will pull A1 on behalf of Betty and ask Jamie again, check the thing, bring it back if it needs a correction. Any others to pull? Carla?
No.
Nancy? George?
I'll pull A5.
A5. Can I hear a motion approving items A2, A3, A4?
So moved.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Unanimous on your proclamation. Pat? A5, Noah?
Yeah, just pulling A5 to be able to vote no.
Okay, can I hear a motion approving item A5, please?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1. Okay. We'll take a brief intermission, and we'll come back for the public hearing.
Public.
This matter is in front of you based on your direction at your February 14, 2012 meeting, which you instructed staff to prepare a draft ordinance that would ban smoking in certain areas of the Morro Bay city limits. I've prepared that draft for your review, which is attached as Exhibit C, and also attached to my staff report is the staff report that was prepared on February 14th, which goes into quite detail as to what other local jurisdictions are doing, and then I also attached your minutes from February 14th. The draft ordinance that I've prepared was taken basically when I do these ordinances. I reviewed and looked at probably 20 to 25 ordinances and looked at what they were trying to accomplish and meet those accomplishments to what you gave me directions to do. I've prepared that, and we submitted that to the county tobacco program that they have there, and they've provided us with comments and concerns that they have, and I provided those to you for any discussion you do have. Since doing the draft ordinance, you know, and I'll point out a few of those issues. One of those that I need to correct is, in fact, if you recall, what you requested staff to do is not only do a secondhand smoking regulation, but also do a regulation regulating the sale of tobacco retail sales. And so in many ordinances, they might have been combined together, but I believe it's better to separate those two out and deal with them separately, secondhand smoke from the tobacco retail. So one of the issues I believe that needs to be corrected is on W of your definitions, which talks about tobacco product. We'll take that out and save it for another day because it's not part of secondhand smoke what the tobacco product is. It's more whether it's a lighted substance. And so that could be taken out. The other issue that I will be doing in your next one is when I was reviewing these under 9.24.040, I have a laundry list of places where smoking is going to be prohibited. I don't believe now that's the best approach based on comments I've received and other ones I've looked, and that we're better off shortening that up tremendously and really just prohibiting it in public places and in employment areas that you gave the direction before, not listing out all of those. So that's a major change that will come back to first reading. That is your intent, but it also will help us in enforcing it. I will say there are two exemptions to this ordinance. Although smoking will now be prohibited in public places, it does give you two exceptions. And the one is if you're actively passing on the way to one destination to another, and so long as the smoke does not enter into any enclosed area in which smoking is prohibited, that's okay. So if someone is walking their dog and you're going from one place to another, or even if you had left an establishment and was heading to your car, smoking will still be allowed. The principle where this will not be allowed is if you're congregating outside a business and you're not within a smoking outpost area, then it will be prohibited. And the other exception is on this is if you're in an area where, due to the time of day or other factors, it is not reasonable to expect another person to arrive. That would also be exception. So there are two exceptions under here. I know they're nebulous, difficult possibly to enforce, but that's the best language that all of the ordinance I've reviewed have come up with, that at least allow some wiggle room in allowing the smoking to occur. And like I said, that was the principle I received out of the comments that were received from the county. I do probably will add a little bit more to the smokers' outpost in regards to their comments about the reasonable distance from the front and making
just people enforcing it on each other. And we have not written one citation. I checked before I came here for those ordinances. We have given warnings, and that is important to note because it is through an administrative site process that we enforce the ordinances. And per our administrative site ordinance, we actually are required to give a warning prior to issuing a citation. And that is typically what we try and do as a law enforcement agency anyways, especially with any new regulation or ordinance, is an educational campaign and try and be proactive in the enforcement as far as warnings prior to any citations.
Okay, thank you. And to follow up on that, so Mr. Schultz, as you are the lead staffer on this so far, we've talked with the Tobacco Control Coalition about their support as we, if we move forward with this, how they could support us. Have you had any further thoughts about that? Are we waiting to develop how that partnership or support network could continue to help us with this? Obviously, their comments are very helpful as we move forward, but is there anything else that you're thinking might fit?
Sure, and I think they're a valuable resource that can help us with this, and they have already helping us with the drafting of it and will help us with the tobacco retail sales part of it, and I think they're available for any outreach program and also even with potential possible funding for signs. We've talked a little bit about that also. Certainly don't believe, and some of the other jurisdictions don't have signs all over the streets, but some of our parks is where we thought we need that outreach, where we've got parks signs for the non-smoking. That might be the place that we want to target signs in. So we talked some signs, but they're here and available to answer that question if they've got any other ideas on how we have outreach and community involvement in it.
Okay, yeah, and it would seem like the retail licensing would be something that would be very helpful with the outreach to the businesses. The other question I had was, we had discussed, it's a little bit separate than this, but the concept of community service component that would either provide an option for someone that, let's say, was warned and then continued to disobey the rule, and most specifically littering of the cigarette butts, which we all know is a big problem. Have you thought any further about that? How much time or effort would be involved if we wanted a community service elements as an alternative to a monetary fine?
We certainly could, and that actually, if you're interested in doing that, I would bring that back and make that a change to our administrative site program, which, you know, right now the first offense, this would be a $100 ticket. And certainly after a warning, if one was issued, the way to put that in is then in our administrative site, one point, whatever chapter that is of our municipal code, you could look at that and put in some language regarding in as an alternative to fines. So I would do that. If you were willing to do that, that would be almost across the board, not just for this issue, but maybe it would be an effective way on many other ones, administrative sites that we write.
Okay, and how much time would that involve from your office, though?
Amending
that ordinance, but also coming up with a efficient community service opportunity or avenue. Would we have to develop that sort of a concept? How much work is involved with that side?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We would need to. We currently use some community service workers. I think that we would certainly want to come back with you to you with a concept. There is a certain aspect of supervision with community service workers that we want to be careful of, that we don't inundate ourselves with that. So,
yeah.
Certainly, if you're after that, we'd like to come back and provide more of a robust description of what that might be.
Okay.
And I would just say in follow up though, for admin sites, we're not out there writing, you know, not even 100 sites a year. I'd be surprised if we even write 50 citations a year. I mean, maybe the chief knows, but we do not write a tremendous amount of administrative citations because we're proactive on trying to get voluntary and compliance.
Yeah, okay. And my last question has to do with your comments about the reasonable distance. Currently it has recommended 20 feet, but may be 5 feet for a reasonable distance. And are you suggesting that we just hold it at 20 feet and drop the 5 foot?
Yes, that's one of the recommendations from the county, and I would agree with that recommendation, that it needs to be consistently at the 20 and not go with a minimum of 5.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I'm going to wait a while.
No, I think it was answered. All the questions were answered. Thank you.
Okay, this is a public hearing. If any of you would like to address council on it, this is the appropriate time. Step right up. State your name for the record. When the buzzer goes off, your time is up. 3 minutes. Hi. Welcome.
Good evening, council members. My name's Wayne Hansen. Throughout the state have adopted tobacco control policies that right now are saving lives and improving the health of their citizens. Tobacco control policies are an excellent way of reducing exposure of non-smokers to secondhand smoke, reducing or eliminating toxic tobacco-related litter. It helps non-smokers to quit when they're surrounded by an environment that's intolerant to smoking. It's family-friendly, and it sends a very strong message from the council to your citizens that you really care deeply about the health of your community. Like I said, other communities have done this and done it very successfully. One of them is, in fact, the whole county of Monterey, city of Fresno, even city of Bakersfield. Now, Bakersfield can do it. Should be a slam dunk for you. So we are very supportive and offer our assistance in this process and wish you the best, and we'll be tracking the future process as you go towards your first and second reading of this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Thanks for coming down tonight. Dr. Vaughn? Well, Chris is going to beat you. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. My name is Gary Christensen. Just real briefly, I wanted to address this issue of a smoking ban. It's become painfully aware to me that I live in an over-regulated country. And one of the reasons I moved to Morro Bay from the big city of San Diego was to get away from the big city atmosphere. And it seems like I've found myself now in big city mentality, looking at regulating what I can and can't do in the privacy of my own home, maybe my own rental unit, or in a public area that may or may not have people that are opposed to smoking near me. I am not a smoker. My father, 23 years ago, died a very painful death of oat cell cancer directly related to chain smoking that he did for his entire life. I'm very aware of the dangers of cancer and smoking. That was not a pleasant thing to watch my father die from cancer. But I want to tell you that for 17 years, I grew up with my father riding around. He was a service technician before he got into the nightclub business, in a small pickup and or a van where he smoked chain Camels endlessly. And with the window up and the wind wing open only so he could flick his ashes out. For 17 years, I was exposed to that secondhand smoke. I have absolutely no residual effects from secondhand smoke in me today. Never have had. I've had myself checked numerous times because I was always afraid of the publicity on secondhand smoke. Never had or do have any effects from secondhand smoke. So I find the studies a little bit suspicious myself. They may be policy driven. I don't know who those are that are driving the research that has been done on it. But from my personal experience, I never experienced any difficulties from secondhand smoke. I didn't like it, and I didn't like watching my father die. But I'm not sure, personally, that secondhand smoke is as dangerous as everybody says it is. I want to point out also in your report from your city attorney, very thorough report. I went through it, all 8-9 pages. He pointed out in several different areas the consideration for legal implications and possibilities of legal actions that you, the city, would have to defend, or that our city chief of police and the police officers would have to enforce. And or, as was suggested in even some of the rental units, the homeowner of those rental units would have to enforce. So it just seems like a real nightmare as far as implication implementation and enforcement of these regulations. I would really advise you to take a real serious look at it, whether or not we really need this. I pump gas every day in my car, and I know those fumes coming out of that gas tank are really dangerous to my health. Nobody tells me I can't pump gas in my car, so I'm very cautious on how I do that. I would consider you to reconsider this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Hi.
Kathleen Carley, County of San Luis Obispo. I'm a division manager, health promotion.
one of the biggest reasons people give when considering smoking ordinances why not to pass it is the impact on businesses. Dr. Stanton Glantz and his colleagues at the University of California at San Francisco have analyzed hundreds of studies looking for a financial impact of smoking ordinances, and they have not found any negative impact on businesses. In fact, some businesses report increased sales after a tobacco ordinance goes into effect. Keep in mind that the California Health Interview Survey, which is a project of UCLA, which looks at health statistics across our entire disease and preventing disease in young children, and it's a standard part of a school sign-up when a child goes to kindergarten. So yes, sometimes government does interfere, but government needs to interfere sometimes, especially when the research is clear, and the research is extremely clear on tobacco. There's no if, there's no what, there's no second guessing. We know for a fact that tobacco kills and secondhand smoke kills. Now, what can our program do for you? You had a question. We can offer you education. We offer free stop smoking classes. We offer free patches for people who qualify. We've offered classes in the city of Morro Bay before. We don't get a lot of turnout, but if you help us and you get a full class, we'll offer a class in your city. We can help notify merchants when you do tobacco retail licensing. And as I talked to Rob this week, I have a budget that comes from the state, and I may have a little bit of wiggle room in there that I can help you with some sign money. Wouldn't be able to help you to the fall when I redo my budget, but I'll look what's in there, and I'll help however we can. So we're here to support you. We think that this is a great thing. And I just want to remind you again to consider the majority, the 90% of the citizens in your county that do not smoke. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hi.
Good evening. My name is Marissa Letts. As a resident of an employee in the city of Morro Bay, I would love to see a secondhand smoking ordinance enacted. I really know that smoke is detrimental to the image and the experience of our beautiful beachside town. And secondhand smoking ordinance, this one in particular, will contribute to protecting the health and well-being of our residents, employees, tourists, and as well as the surrounding environment. It'll decrease smoke exposure to the residents and the environment as well, and it will also help decrease cigarette butt litter. The Surgeon General released a report in 2006 stating that there's no known safe level of secondhand smoke exposure, and the CDC is repeatedly finding alarming rates of heart disease, asthma, cancer, respiratory infection and disease, as well as premature death due to secondhand smoke exposure. Any measures taken to reduce the secondhand smoke will be beneficial to our city. Businesses won't be affected by this ordinance due to the designated smoking areas that will be allowed in the ordinance, as well as exclusions such as when walking from a business to your car. This ordinance would be a wonderful addition to the city of Morro Bay, improving the experience and beauty of the town while protecting the health and well-being of residents, employees, and tourists, as well as the surrounding environment and ecosystem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hi.
Hi. Melissa Peters, the County Tobacco Control Program. I'm actually going to read a letter that was submitted to all the council members from the Health Commission, the first five commission. Members of the council, I'm writing on behalf of the first five of San Luis Obispo County to express the commission's support of the proposed ordinance to eliminate smoking in additional outdoor areas in Morro Bay. Your action will protect the children and families who do not only live in Morro Bay, but also visit as tourists. Thank you for your vision. Eliminating smoking from these areas will improve our community's health. We've all heard of the dangers of secondhand smoke, especially with respect to young children, who often cannot escape it if exposed. Because of their bodies are still developing, exposure to secondhand smoke puts children in danger of respiratory diseases and effects that can last a lifetime. Understanding the harmful effects of secondhand smoke has on young children, First Five of San Luis Obispo County believes that children should be free from the more than 4,000 chemicals it contains, including benzene, carbon monoxide, ammonia, cyanide, and cyanide. With that end in mind, the Commission also supports smoke-free outdoor recreation areas, such as parks, which are frequented by young children and their families. Children are more at risk than adults because they breathe 2 to 3 times more pollutants for every pound of body weight than adults do. Secondhand smoke can cause reduced lung function in children and slow the growth of developing lungs. It can make healthy children sick, can cause ear infections, cold, coughing, wheezing, bronchitis, pneumonia, and asthma attacks. Asthma is the most common chronic disease among children in the U.S. and a leading cause of absences in school. In 2009, 15.4% of children in San Luis Obispo County were diagnosed with asthma, compared to 14.2% in California alone. We applaud your leadership in increasing smoke-free outdoor areas throughout the city of Morro Bay, in particular those areas where children are present. Sincerely, Susan K. Hughes, Executive Director of First Five Slo County, who is also a member of the San Luis Obispo Tobacco Control Coalition. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Yates, council members, Patrick J. Vaughn, physician. I've had the honor to serve this community for the last 30, affecting where people can utilize that product. I've had so many patients say, you know, it's so hard for me to actually light up or do something in a particular area that I've chosen to stop smoking. And this is where you have your influence by this ordinance. And if we can achieve that, by reducing the number of smokers, we will also obviously reduce the amount of secondhand smoke that people are exposed to. So I ask you to consider supporting the Tobacco Coalition's recommendations to the ordinance that we have before us and you'll be looking at in the future weeks to come. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Vaughn. Anyone else? Hello, Susan.
Hi, Susan Stewart. I own a business on Morro Bay Boulevard, and I don't really have anything planned, but Nancy had said, is there anything you can say as a merchant? And there are things I can say as a merchant. I certainly know many, many merchants, both on my block and on Main Street, have had issues with smokers, you know, even as they walk by, certainly as they sit out on the benches, on the sidewalk, having the smoke go into your store. It does go in there, it sits there, it smells bad, and then I always feel embarrassed when the next customer comes in and you're trying to air out the store just from a cigarette walking by. I do have a beautiful 21-year-old daughter who will have an asthma attack sitting in the store, you know, behind the counter when the cigarette goes by. She's an asthmatic. She's always been an asthmatic. It affects her. You know, so much of this is anecdotal. And I have had a father who died healthy, young, from secondhand smoke. He was never a smoker. So, you know, I had that experience of watching a loved one who was not a smoker and a grandma on the other side who was a smoker die of lung cancer. So not a pleasant thing. For our town, the numbers were interesting. If 80 to 90% of the people are not smokers, then maybe it's not such a huge impact. The smokers that I know, my neighbors in the stores next to me are smokers. They smoke in the back. You know, it's not affecting the sidewalks. It's not affecting anybody else's business. They're very polite. A lot of smokers are, you know, wonderfully polite about it and careful about it, and you wouldn't even know they smoke. It doesn't smell on their clothes. So, you know, I think there may be just a few people who would be upset about it, but overall, I think as a community, we could be proud of putting forward something like that. Wouldn't have to sweep the cigarette butts off the sidewalk in the morning. You know, I think there's a lot of benefits. I do think we need to look at places, though, where people can comfortably smoke and not feel like societal pariahs, because that's not fair either. It's a challenging drug for people to have to deal with, and you know, some folks just are hooked. They can't help it. I've heard it's worse to kick than heroin. So anyhow, just as a business person, that would be my two cents, which again, it's not science, it's not data, it's just a response and a reaction. So thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Anybody else? Anyone? And I'll bring it back to council and start down with Carla.
Well, I'm going to love to hear the rest of the council's comments as we move forward through this. I would start by thanking Councilmember Johnson for bringing this through the process over this last year. It's something that came to us several years ago, and we kind of tabled it. I know when Mr. Smuckler and I first got on the council in regards to adding some greater restrictions to some of the park areas and things, and a little over a year ago, one of our speakers that was here talked to us about secondhand smoke at a drive-thru restaurant here in town and that he was subjected to it. What could we do to help? And so here we are a year later at this point of looking at opportunities to me, enhance the lifestyle and the things we enjoy around here. And part of that is by having an opportunity to add some more smoking guidelines. I hate to say ordinances or, I want to support this in a passive enforcement way. I like the idea of community service as an option. We have done it, as the city manager said. I know people do community service at the fire department, the police department, things like that. Passive enforcement, I like that it's smoking prohibitive rather than no smoking. People who are going to respect it are going to respect it, and those who aren't are not going to follow the rules. And if we get...
There are a lot of tourist towns that prohibit smoking in town. Among the real leaders are Newport Beach, Carlsbad, and Carpinteria. So it's very common in tourist areas. One of the other arguments that I've heard from emails I've gotten, and it also came up a bit tonight, and this is the argument about too much regulation and ordinance that regulate our lives, and I can agree that we have a lot of regulations. But secondhand smoke is a health issue. It's a health hazard. And we have important regulations that don't prevent, but make it against the law to speed, where you might kill yourself or somebody else. Car seats for infants and young children, seat belts. Gosh, even jaywalking is illegal because it's not safe for your health. So this is just an extension, I think, of other things that are not good for you. And I think it's part of our job is to help protect our community. Also, in terms of businesses, I spoke with a couple business owners on Main Street, and they both sent a letter because they couldn't be here this evening that they support the no smoking except in designated areas. And we went in talking with Rob and working with him on that, Mr. Schultz, I mean, our attorney. We've looked a lot at designated smoking areas, and one of the people I spent a lot of time talking to was Casey, who owns two of our bars in town, and she's quite comfortable with what we've come up with. So I think we have the support of our business community. We certainly have the support of the Tobacco Coalition, and I'd really like to see us move forward with this.
Well, I have a different take on this. And your last comment kind of got me, because I just had a conversation with Casey a couple days ago, and I got a completely different impression. And I get a different impression from most of the business owners. I think to point out a couple of businesses is not fair. Chris Christensen, I don't know if he was speaking on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce, but, I would suspect that the Chamber would not back this.
Excuse me. May I just comment on that one?
I don't think that's fair, because I didn't interrupt you.
All right. Well, when you're through, I'll tell you what happened with the Chamber.
I don't think it's, Monterey, Bakersfield, Fresno, I'll bet you another dollar that they have not outlawed smoking on the sidewalks. Really, the smoking on the sidewalks and outside the bars are the only thing I take exception with. I told you last time, I'd vote for the rest of it. I think, Rob, your entire list here
of places that you want to outlaw, not you, that you've listed to outlaw, are all places that smoking are not allowed now. All public, well, except for the first one, streets, sidewalks, but lobbies, elevators, reception, waiting service areas, hallways, museums, aquariums, galleries, libraries, grocery stores and supermarkets, other retail food marketing establishments, theaters, auditoriums, clubhouses, halls, exhibiting movie theater, examination rooms. Obviously, you can't smoke in a doctor's office. Child care facilities, game rooms, meeting rooms, laundry rooms, public transportation facilities, restaurants and bars, any public building like this one, City Hall, recreational facilities, gymnasiums, swimming pools, roller skating rinks. We don't have most of these, but if we did, you wouldn't be allowed to smoke in them. Banks, professional offices, retail stores, enclosed shopping malls, laundromats, beauty and barber. I mean, I don't know why we're outlawing all this when it's already outlawed. Smokers do not smoke in these places. Smoking is not allowed in these places. The other things that came up last time were lines being the apologetic smoker on the city council, and so I speak for smokers. We don't smoke in lines at the Bay Theater or at ATM machines or where it's going to annoy somebody. I don't see it. So for me, it comes down to the sidewalks, which sounds like it's being addressed or has been addressed, Rob. I mean, what is this?
No, I agree. Many of those places are already prohibited. In my draft, that would come.
And, you know, those one block area there where the clubs are, the music's bum, 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 just moving the buildings. There's 40, 50 smokers out there. People step out on the sidewalk and smoke. At our bars, the buoy has an outdoor patio. They're covered. Casey just told me, and they have an outdoor patio at the fuel dock, but they close it at dark. And I think the police department has something to do with that. It has to do with problems that they've had out there. So they don't have any intention of opening that after dark. It stays open later now because it's staying light longer, but dark, that's closed. So the patrons step out onto the corner or to the little bench along Harbor Street. There's no outdoor patio at Legends. Down at Otter Rock, they step out on the sidewalk or they go out back. Otter Rock is the only place in town, four tables, where a smoker can smoke during a meal, having a meal. The only one. There are no others. Take it from me. So that's going to go away. But the smokers aren't going to go away. They're still going to step out there. They're going to step out one side or the other. They're not going to walk a block to a smoker's outpost. So I see I don't know how you're going to enforce this. I don't know how you're going to enforce it on the streets. That's and outside the bars. Those are the two areas. And I really want to pass it along and let everybody speak and then come back to you. George, and let me finish up on the friendliness. I don't think it's tourist friendly. I fear a sign outside of town saying Mora Bay is a smoke-free town. That would keep smokers, and there's the numbers I have are 20% of us smoke. And I've researched this. You know, I don't believe that smoking is outlawed on the sidewalks in Monterey, Bakersfield, or Fresno. And ladies, said some businesses have experienced an increase in business. True enough. Some businesses have gone out of business because of it, too. That's not mentioned. certainly in England that's happened. Or in Ireland, you know, where they smoke in the streets. So that's my position on this. I've said all along I'm not adverse to anything other than those two things. The smokers have a right to walk along the sidewalk and smoke,
and bar patrons should be able to step outside the door. And if you want to make a move 20 feet away, that's fine, but not down the block or two blocks away. That I have a problem with. So that's the end of my deal. George?
Well, Bill, you covered about all of it. No use repeating the things you did. I've been in the bar and restaurant business an awful long time. And I've come through the time when smoking was completely allowed. I even think about down at the Harbor Hut, and Carla can testify this. And we were tending bar and cocktail waitress, and you could look across the room and you couldn't even see the guys playing in the band because it was so thick of smoke. And business was just thriving, of course. There was the astronomical numbers that the bars were doing in those days. And then came the really hard, the DUI laws. And that took a big effect. It used to be like 35% of my sales was liquor in the restaurant business. And when the heavy DUI laws came down, it kind of dropped to about 28. Then, no smoking in the bars, it actually dropped down to about 22. So people cannot tell me that, I'm not saying that all places that your business is are affected or not affected, but I have witnessed effect, and I know that there's businesses that have gone out. Like I remember when San Luis Obispo passed the law over there, and the guy from the bowling alley, I can't remember his name now, he used to come over the Harbor Hut, have a cigarette, and he says that his business was just going down, down, down. Well, you know, bowling alleys have gone out just about everywhere. It was kind of a funny thing about people smoking and bowling. It was kind of a combination. But anyway, besides all that, we could go hookers and have a drink and say, well, I guess I got to have a cigarette with the rest of them. But I never really smoked too much. And but I'd around a lot of secondhand smoke. More than probably just... Oh, just more than anybody, I'd say. So I can't testify that. But I have noticed smokers are getting more and more conscientious about their smoking. I believe right now we don't really have a problem in this town. We're developing a problem is what we're doing. But you got me watching my customers walk out of the building after they've eaten meal. And what they do, and the first thing they get outside, the ones that smoke, of course, and a lot of foreign people, and you tell me foreign people don't smoke, yeah, they still do. And the first thing they do is the smokers will light up, and they'll go across the parking lot there and stand by their rented car and not even get in it. And I've sat there and witnessed this several times. They're conscientious about that. They don't even get in their rental car and smoke. They finish their cigarette, get in their car, and leave. And I like I said, I'm going kind of goofy. I'm starting to watch all these things. So I believe that this is going to be effect on us. And we're talking about towns. How many towns, tourist towns, are we naming here that has stopped smoking? A handful? How many are still smoking? I like I said before, we're going down a scary area here, and you got Pismo Beach and all our competition still smoking, and they're not going to stop smoking, I don't believe. So I can't support this at all. You know, I definitely like the ideas of, and I'm glad. I'll tell you right now, I'm glad there's no smoking in my bars and restaurants right now, but because it just makes a better place to be. But out in the sidewalks, and I'm thinking right now, we're talking about, and now getting personal here about my own business, but at GAFCO, And if you can't smoke in the sidewalks of the street, then there ain't no smoking, because that's all I got. So I don't know what, and I do have quite a few smokers there that come in the bar there. So I don't know what you're going to do with this, but I do agree with a lot of the things where it shouldn't be smoking, the playgrounds and the parks and the gatherings of people. Right, because cigarettes do affect other people worse than others, like have asthma and things like this, and we got to respect that. But anyway, I'll pass it on here. I've said enough.
Yeah, I'd like to defer to Ms. Johnson to hear your comments about what you heard down in the business area and some of the things you wanted to say earlier.
Oh, thank you. There were just a couple of things I wanted to clarify. I spoke with the CEO of the chamber, and they did not come out against the ordinance. It was about 50-50, so they decided not to take a position. Sometimes I wonder if some of us all live in the same town, because I talked to more than just a few business owners, and there were many, many business owners up on in the old town who are very concerned about smoke coming into their businesses and bother. It gets into the clothing that they're trying to sell, and just as Susan was saying, she's just another example. I was walking up Harbor on Monday, and there were two smokers out on the sidewalk between the bank and Main Street, and they were standing like on either side of the sidewalk and talking and blowing cigarette smoke, and the only thing to do at that point because of the traffic was to walk through it. So I know it happens. It happens a lot. One of the things that I think we put in there when we talked about bars and where people can smoke, there's a sentence in there, and probably Mr. Schultz can find it for me more quickly than I can, but it says areas where other persons are not expected to be present. Isn't that about right? So, that's kind of an opening. We talked about designated smoking areas. Even Disneyland has designated areas where people can go and smoke. And I think if you really want to smoke, it's not going to kill you. You probably need the exercise to walk a little further and do it. The other thing that bothers me about people smoking along the Embarcadero, and I've had discussions with Andrea from the estuary.
Have an approved site. The other way is, and I believe the way SLO is doing it, is really not to have an application process at all. It's just self-regulated that they do their own area. In other words, if they were congregating in front of an area, we inform them of our ordinances and the requirements that are necessary and tell them they needed to implement the ordinance the way it's written. The other way is to go through the application process and have a little bit more say of exactly where it is going to be located and how it's going to be laid out. So there's two ways. I haven't talked to Rob about it. I would like to go the easiest and least staff implementation of that decision to do it.
So what you're saying is it would be complaint-driven, restaurants or
absolutely.
Someone has created an outpost that is creating a problem that is not within our guidelines here that have been established, and that person could then have an avenue to address the situation legally and with support of the law, rather than right now where there's really not much standing for that person.
Absolutely. And I don't want to pick on any businesses, but it's a good situation to look at is if there were a number of smokers that were around the entryway to one of our downtown establishments, a bar that hang out right in front of the front area. The way we would go about that is to reach out, explain the ordinance to them, and explain an area where you could establish that and put a sign to move them 20 feet away from the opening of the door.
Okay.
And that's primarily, in looking at other cities, that was the primary force is to regulate and try to eliminate the smoke that is in front of establishments that is the people just hanging around smoking as opposed to moving. And that was the primary tool that they're trying to accomplish.
Okay. Thank you. And I'll just say that I am also in support of moving forward, as it seems like the direction we're going in is very much a community policing type of an ordinance where we're giving the opportunity for non-smokers to protect themselves and to be able to, through a complaint-driven process, not pursuit process, to be able to have a smoke-free environment and enjoy that in the public space. I appreciate that we've removed some of the private property components that were in here before, and that there are still opportunities for smokers to work within this and be respected there as well. So I'm comfortable with this. I think it's essential for us to protect public health. I think this helps provide Morro Bay with strengthening our image as a city that cares about the public health, that cares about our environment, our fishery, that we are looking forward to our quality of life and working on providing that to the community. And I have heard from mostly families, people that have been out at special events, that like to walk our streets, and they felt powerless in many cases to do or say anything in the case of, like you described, Nancy, walking down the street and really not having any opportunity to try to improve the situation. So I think this is responding to that. I am definitely in favor of pursuing the retail licensing component. I think that's very important, as was described by Chief Olivas, about the percentage of tobacco sales to minors here in our community compared to the rest of the county, which has a retail licensing. I would like to see us work to keep that fee for the license as low as possible, so it's not burdensome, but it does keep the businesses that do sell tobacco products accountable and hold the business owner accountable rather than the clerk. And I also would like to follow up with some exploration of a community service component to administration citations, because, you know, ultimately not everyone's going to have money to pay the fine, and I think it would be, as long as it's not too burdensome for our staff to develop a plan, and that the community service is actually providing some benefit, I think that would be a worthwhile thing for us to look at and move forward with in a future agenda.
I just, when we were going through this, I guess my question, I don't know, to Rob or to Nancy, is on the list of areas, I had thought we eliminated the construction sites, construction areas, and I see it's still on the list. Did we not remove that? Am I confused on that?
I thought we did, and we may have left it in for discussion.
From what I understand, we removed it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's
too.
What I thought.
I'm looking at the list. I just want to make sure that was removed. We did.
My direction was to remove that. So as I go over that, I'll make sure if it's not clear that we specifically state that we're not dealing with an area that's on private property as a construction site.
People wanting to protect their reputation as a contractor to provide some, you know, common sense in that. So I'm very much in favor of avoiding that private property step in this.
They're in and out of the location, too. They're there for a short period of time and gone, so it would be hard to try and keep tracking down every construction site. So, and George, just to respond to you, I am emotionally scarred from those years of cigarette smoking. I went home every night and smelled like a cigarette butt, and it was horrific, but it was a way to make a living.
You're emotionally
scared. Maybe that's what's wrong with me, and I didn't realize it.
There you go,
I'm going to suggest that we. I'm not comfortable. I'm going to vote against it anyway. So overrule me if you want, and I'm not trying to slow it down. I just can get this over with and behind us. But that this comes back for another consideration, like we're going through tonight, not come back for a whole new thing, and it'll be our first reading. You didn't do that tonight. You're going to change it. So I would like to see that, but I'm going to be in the short end of the stick here, you know. So you guys,
I'm confused. What do you want to see? A first reading come back at the next meeting, or do you want to see it before it comes back for a first reading?
I'd like to see it come back before it comes back for first reading, so we're not doing what we're doing tonight. You know, we should have a discussion on it and that will probably change it, and then bring it back for first reading. Then it won't, it goes. And I'll move it as quickly as Rob could move it. And I'm not in a slowdown mode on this.
I'm not sure what components, how extreme the change is of what we discussed tonight that you take back.
I'm gonna be shocked if you overrule me, Carla.
Will you?
Would you be shocked?
I'm
going to simplify it quite a bit based on the input from the county and myself, and it will, the only change will be that whole list. You won't see that. You're going to see that smoking is not allowed in all public places, basically.
But smoking's not allowed in all public places now?
Outside, even. Outside or inside. They will not be allowed.
It's not allowed inside now. Do we agree with that?
With employment places for under 5 employees, there's an exception to that.
Name me one office in Morro Bay, one employment place under 5 people.
I couldn't.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Nobody smokes inside.
There are in public places outside. Patios of bars allow smoking. Patios can allow them. Some do and some don't. That would also be that area where now that would not be allowed anymore.
In the patios and the bars?
Would not be allowed unless there was a smoking area. That outpost area can be declared that.
Huh. And I think...
I mean, you can't get more private than the two patios we have. I mentioned them earlier. I'm getting steamrolled here, so, I mean, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, I can't imagine outlawing the smoking areas at the buoy, which is... That's what it is. It's a smoking area with a tall fence around it and the daylight hours patio at the fuel dock.
And both of those going through the process could be considered outposts and be allowed smoking.
Yes, if they make an application with the city, and I'll bet you there'll be a fee involved. So they have to come to City Hall, make an application, and pay a fee, and then get it reviewed and get a special permit.
As I said, San Luis Obispo doesn't require any application, and that's the process. As I can find out how they do that process, there is no application. It's just that they do have to follow the ordinance and put up the signs and have it clearly marked, but there isn't any process.
Okay.
So, and that's where I would go if we can mimic that process.
What bothers me is you talk about public areas. Isn't this whole town a public area? I mean, what do you mean by public areas?
Your residential home would not be, so those areas, the residential areas, the common areas we've excluded where you can go into, those areas are...
So then would you go home to smoke?
The two exceptions that I've mentioned, because of the time of the day and there's no one around, you could do that in a public place.
Oh, I see.
Or if you're actually moving one from one place to another, that would also give you that.
No effect. Smoking at high noon, right? Make that new ordinance. Are you standing in the middle of the street? Is that a public area? It definitely is, isn't it? I'm really nervous about the public areas. Because I think this is going to be just steamrolled.
And when we saw this last time, it said commercial areas. Now you've basically changed it to the whole... No, it doesn't. It says all public places, including streets, sidewalks, etc. So what happened to the commercial area aspect of it? Are you saying I can't smoke outside in the street of my house now? I'm sorry. I'm looking at page 3. Of
Ireland.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is. I made a mistake. I apologize. There is
Thank
no
you.
Longer smoking in the pubs. Also, let me
and that isn't really enforced either, because I talk to some Irish people and they enjoy their cigarettes in some of the pubs.
But there are a couple of
It's against the law. It is against the law.
A couple of other interesting exceptions. Well, first, you may not smoke anywhere on a University of California campus or elementary or high schools, but it is not prohibited at state colleges or, Mr. Mayor, on county property.
Well, how interesting.
Yes, I thought you'd like that. Since
Thank
you go to so many meetings at the county office, you can step outside.
Well, then it could be could be city property then too, and then all the lease sites along the waterfront. Well, I guess there'd be no smoking on the waterfront at all. There you go. See, this is just getting completely out of hand, and like I said, this is really dangerous grounds we're walking on.
I'm with you. Let's bring it to a close. What do you want to do?
Let's move it forward.
Well, okay, next item? No, I mean, what do you mean, Nancy?
I mean, let's...
Make a motion.
All right, I move that we approve the draft of Chapter 9.24 entitled Secondhand Smoking Regulations and direct staff to return this with any changes, introduction, and first reading at a public hearing on April 10th.
I'll second for discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Schultz, is that... clear for you as far as the details of our discussion and what you'd like to bring back to us?
Certainly, I'll do my best to bring back an ordinance that reflects, you know, council's concerns. I mean, it'll be first reading. If, in fact, there are changes to it, then it would have to come back for a first reading again. I mean, you know, you can make minor changes to it, but anything that's substantial to an ordinance during its first reading has to come back for first reading again. So in some ways, if I don't get it right and you guys have changes to it, we'll just come back again for a first reading.
And I would ask that you say at the first available meeting, and I will try. I don't know what our agenda is or how it's stacked up. This is going to take time. It's taking time tonight. If it takes the second meeting, I would ask you to be patient with that. I've stated I don't want to slow this up. It will be on the next agenda at all, if it works. So if you would just go on with that, I'd be grateful.
Next available meeting? Okay. And I have a question then.
You okay with that?
Are you okay with that? Okay. Each and every one of us then are privy to being able to go in and talk to you as you work on this, right? So that if we have questions, they can be ironed out before we get here?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries 3-2.
Okay. To follow up then on the retail licensing, at this point, that needs to come back to us as well. We have that already agendized for a future?
It's on the agenda planning guide. I think it's on either for the first or second meeting in April.
Your police chief was going to work on that, and I was working on this ordinance. He's passed that file on to me, and another reason why I'm angry at him. And so I'm shooting for sometime in May is when we would bring that back to take a look at that retail ordinance.
It's coming. It's not
and same with the administrative citations and the community service concept?
That might take a little bit longer. I haven't even started the research on what other communities do. I did notice, though, in the Fresno ordinance that I punched up, it did have a little change in ordinances in the enforcement section. It even talked about during the 12-month period, it provided instead of just one warning, you actually were entitled to two warnings. So I might look at that language and see what other ones did within, if there's any other, and I'll talk to county whether they've seen any enforcement sections that provided for community service or anything else.
Okay. So. And again, the tent with the community service is meaningful community service. It actually serves a purpose, and it's not a burden to the city. If other community groups in the community were able to utilize that and be a player, that would be nice. And both with the retail licensing and the community service update, we obviously have a lot to work on, so I in no way do I want this to trump some of the other top priorities that we've talked about in the goal setting.
C1 Joe.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. During the assessment hearings of 2011, Council heard comments from residents of the Cloisters District regarding the plan, and we implemented that plan. We used the CCCs for demolition of the parkways, and we used in-house staff to improve and replace the irrigation lines and put in some plants. We got about two of the irrigation systems completed and realized that we weren't as productive as we needed to be. And so we reevaluated our plan and changed our business plan. We decided to outsource the remaining parkways so we can meet our deadline and complete the parkways and again meet the expectations of all the Cloisters residents. I gave you some pictures in your packet regarding the parkways that we've done. We are close to being finished with all the parkways. I would say about 95% complete. There's only two or three that need to be adjusted. I'll be meeting with the contractor within this week to finalize the punch list and get the rest of the parkways completed. There's probably maybe three at best. One a redo and one person came lately and one guy just needed a little bit of an adjustment. We changed our bark to a very small bark, which was recommended by one of the residents. And the pictures that I gave you, they aren't just pristine pictures. There's pictures of parkways with weeds. And if we went out there right now, there may be a couple more. But part of the contract is to have all those parkways clear. And we'll be going through that and make sure all the existing parkways, whether they've been renovated lately or in the past, will be weed-free and irrigation systems working properly. We are going to be outsourcing the remaining 3 months of this fiscal year to that contractor to maintain the parkways in a pristine way. And that'll probably be a weekly maintenance on each one of the parkways, if not more. And we are looking to do some different business plan on the next fiscal year. We're hoping that we're able to contract out the a bulk of the maintenance in that area, the entire assessment district. That's something we're still working on with the city manager's office, and we're hoping we'll get some progress in the next month. Thank you.
Excellent report, Joe. Start with you tonight, Noah, this time, I mean.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for bringing this forward as I requested, because you know, we have had this discussion ongoing since I've been on the council, and you're right in saying that the results needed to be seen. I'm glad to see that we are finishing and moving through the commitments that we've made to the homeowners out there, and that you're thinking about some ways to be more effective going forward, which I think is really important. As has been mentioned, our infrastructure out there, the hardscape as well as some of the softscapes, are needing attention. And at the pace we were going, it didn't look like we were ever going to be able to get there. And I'm glad to hear that you are developing some different concepts to shift gears and hopefully get to the point where we can start to address those outstanding needs in the infrastructure and hardscapes particularly. So at this point, I'm happy to see this, and I want to keep on seeing those results as we have promised the homeowners out there.
Happy, happy, happy.
I, too, am happy, happy, happy. I just have a couple of questions just to clarify a couple of things. On your fiscal impact, you talk about through indigo circles and emerald circles. Is that the whole project, those two circles, or is there more?
No, it would also include the strip of Coral Avenue. So Coral runs down the middle, and then the cul-de-sacs obviously branch off of that.
Okay, so Coral is in.
Any residents on Coral, and those would be the ones that are just past the park along Emerald Circle.
Okay, and it said the cost is estimated at $30,000. How much is their assessment?
The total assessment is $148,960.
That's close
something.
Enough.
It's just done.
Okay, just around there, huh? Oh, wait. And how often does this have to be done at $30,000? Well, once a year, or
I think it's just a one-time thing. We went into this with a plan for sustainability. This is going to reduce the maintenance, reduce water, reduce costs, and increase aesthetics with the homeowner's property. So it's pretty much a win-win-win all the way across the board. All we'll have to do now is maintain. And maintaining, obviously, has been a challenge in the past, but we've made it a high priority for this fiscal year, and we're going to go into the contract with a lot of accountability, probably some checklists tied to the contract as we get into it. and hopefully a bit of a performance. So as performances drop, wages may be in jeopardy. So there's some strategies we can implement if we go into outsourcing in the new fiscal year. We're hoping. Well, the we've given everybody out there an opportunity to do a very small bunch grass or a taller, medium-sized bunch grass, and you'll see the ones that that are very small. They'll get as large as maybe 8 to 10 inches max, and it'll take a while for that blue fescue to get that big. Some of the other carex grasses, they're made to go medium, 2 or 3 feet up, and within the life cycle of a year there, that after that growth, they could be trimmed back down to a certain height and then
so that would be part of your maintenance then, would be trimming them back down.
Oh, with that, we'll probably do it maybe at least once, if not twice a year, would be a good method of as reducing their size.
One more question, and I'm going to leave you alone.
Sure.
I'm just wondering who did it, who's doing the maintenance out there, and if you went through an RFP process to pick somebody, or what happened?
Well, we were a bit of a time sensitive situation where we needed to get this particular job done. This group, Katie Janey, had come out before, had performed some demonstration parkways for us. We were pleased with their work. We thought they could do a little bit better, and through some coaching, got them on board to do this particular project. It was a large project. They came in with at least 8 to 10 guys every day for a couple of weeks straight, and that kind of dedication and focus and resources allocated ends up in a very successful result. So we pushed hard to get this contractor on. We would certainly be opening up for an RFP for a very competitive bid if this is a go out for an annual contract. Sure.
My turn. Thanks. I think a lot of it's been answered between Noah's and Nancy's questions, but I would say for the last several years I've walked out there with my girlfriends, and so I've been watching and the slow progress that was being made up until the very rapid progress the last few weeks. I mean, you're right, they got after it, and it was pretty amazing. It was great to see. Thank you. A little disheartening that it took us 9 months to get to that point. I know it's been very frustrating for the property owners out there. I hear comments from them that there's certainly a level of appreciation in the change in communication that's being made, and their voices being heard, but I think that the frustration came from, even though their voices were being heard, that nothing was happening. So I'm optimistically hopeful that this continues and we don't backslide to where we were before, and I hope that we do go out for an RFP and contract these services out, because I think that we would better serve that assessment area for the money that they're paying, and would even go one step further to say, you know, as we see the success in the Cloisters area and hope that we continue this, that maybe we also look at the North Point area, which is an assessment area, so that it's better served also. We seem to be struggling with being able to keep it in-house with the cost it is to do it that way. So two assessment areas, hopefully two ways that we can provide better level of service. So thank you. It looks so much better. Really nice.
Thanks. Thank you. My only concern with your presentation was maintaining it a couple times a year, because we know from your demonstration, one to the corner of Coral, you know, the one that, you know, that it wasn't maintained. It took 9 months really to put it back where it started. And I would think that it would be every 3 months, kind of at the minimum, you would need to attempt those. I could be wrong, but I'm going on the demonstration corner. That if you ignore it for 6 months, it's not going to be looking great at the end of 6 months. Sense.
May I respond?
You may.
Now, I wasn't inferring that we would be maintaining the parkways on that kind of periodic maintenance schedule. We would be more of a daily, if not a weekly, if not daily. So our parkways would have to be looked after every week. That's the weed control. I mean, that's when, if you walk by every week, it's a little bit of work. If you waited for a month, it would be a lot more work. And we're realizing that, and we're putting that message out for the workers, and it certainly would include it in any contract that we have. So frequent maintenance is what we need. It'll be minimum, and the rest of it should fall in place.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just was wondering if this would fall into the local contractor preference program that we have when you put that bid out, so local contractors would have a somewhat inside track?
We would be certainly looking for a strong response from any local vendors.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your report. Appreciate it. Good job in getting it done. Appreciate that. Okay, declaration of future agenda items. Carla.
I have a couple, and I think you're going to possibly bring the one on the discussion potentially at under new business or however you want to discuss it on how we're going to address the budget this year, whether it be a workshop or an hour before a meeting or something.
Cool. Done. Support.
And when you get done all the way through, can I have one at the end?
You can.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Nancy?
Thank you.
I'm not sure whether we want to get into this or not, especially considering how much influence we had on PG&E's new smart meters. But Natural Gas Company is now putting out what they say is a not smart meter, but it's basically the same difference. And I don't know if we want to...
Is it a stupid meter?
Well, it's a computerized meter, and they're starting to install them. And I don't know if they have the same questions or concerns. I'd kind of like to maybe hear from Mr. Livick or somebody about where we are with these and do we need to take a position. I know there was so much turmoil over the PG&E smart meters.
Does Nancy have support on this?
Thank you.
Okay.
Is that
informational item?
Three? Was there three that wants
yeah,
that? Okay.
Carla and Noah. And I'm declaring, in 2003, the City Council passed a resolution opposing marine sanctuary expansion into this area. I would basically like to bring back the same resolution. And I'll just add one, whereas we passed this resolution in 2003, and here we are doing it again, and pass that on to the powers that be up in Monterey. Would I have support for that? Yes. Your turn, George.
Well, I have become very concerned about a business in this town. I talked today to the city attorney. It looks like now that our sport fishing fleet is going to be down to two boats. And this business has been very, very important to this town for years and years. We need to do something. I don't know exactly what to do, but we need to step up and bring back, somehow, to bring back this business to this town. So I just want to put it some kind of an agenda that we're going to talk about it, because I know it's we're picking on one business when there's other businesses in trouble too, but this one is one that it's profitable for the whole town, and we need these people here, and I don't know just how to go about it, but we've got to take a look at this business.
How about discussion on the local sport fishing industry? Does that work? I'll support him. Can we get one more of that?
Yeah, I'll support him.
Supported. Great. Nancy?
Yep.
Five supporters on this one. Yeah. Lucky you. Noah? Back to you, Carla.
Well, I just, before we adjourn, I wanted to take an opportunity to... asked the Chief Olivas if he had anything he wanted to say before we go off camera.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor, Council. I do appreciate a moment to say a few words and to actually thank the Council, both present and past, for the support of the Police Department and myself as Police Chief for 2 years and Commander for 6 years before that. I think a critical point for me as a new chief, I really wanted to thank the council members who voted and allowed me to fill the commander position. You saw the results of that tonight here with Commander Brian Millard talking. I believe I'm leaving the department in great hands, and he will be a advocate and support for continuing the partnership that we've built with the community, in addition to having a new chief on board. I also want to thank my fellow department heads, who have been a wonderful group of professionals to work with. We've worked together as a team with a can-do attitude, and we really focused on how we could provide better services for our community as a whole. Of course, that thanks extends to our boss, City Manager Andrea Luker, who by her leadership has made this cohesive and productive team possible and the atmosphere that we work in. It's very much appreciated. I also want to thank publicly the honorable men and women of Morro Bay Police Department for their hard work and support. I cannot say enough about their commitment and unwavering dedication to this city and this community and continuing to provide for a safe environment for people to live, work, and visit. Although I'm stepping down as police chief, I wanted everyone to know that I was not looking for an opportunity to leave Morro Bay. This job opportunity found me, and although it is an individual honor for me, it also honors our entire department. And
staff, we're adjourned. Thank you for being here.